We are starting the book of Joshua this morning, as we said in our opening prayer, and we're actually not going to be in the book itself this morning. We're going to be in Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy as we set up ourselves to study the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua, as I said also in the opening prayer, as we opened our service in prayer, is that Joshua is a book that marks a new beginning. Boy, what an amazing time to be able to start a new beginning. We as a country are getting ready to place our next president again into office here in the next few weeks. We just celebrated 2025. And so we have these new beginnings, and the book of Joshua is just that. And I guess this morning we would say many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would also say, including some of us in here this morning, we kind of need that new beginning. Don't you love the fact that every year, even though we know God is not bound by time, we operate in a time schedule by a calendar, but isn't it great to at least have a reset every year for us, that we can have that reboot, that we can have that refresh button? And the book of Joshua is kind of that for us. It's going to be that refresh, a fresh start. And so Moses is now waiting in the plains of Moab. He's looking across the Jordan River, and he could see Jericho and the mountains in the distance, and he could also see Jerusalem, as Jerusalem sat up quite a bit. And so here is Moses as he looks out, and towards the end of his life, we know that Moses, or maybe you don't know, but Moses went up to Mount Nebo and there died. And when Moses passed the baton of leadership on to Joshua, Israel was at the end of her 90-year wandering. And so Joshua was approaching the age of 18? No. Joshua was approaching the age of 50. No, some of us hit that this year. Some of us hit it last year. Some of us are going to hit it this year. Susanna. But he's not 50. He's not 18. Joshua, when he is, the baton is passed off to him, is 90 years old. 90 years old. He would later die at 110. So at the ripe young age of 90 years old, he is given the opportunity by not only Moses to pass it on, but by God leading Moses to pass it on to Joshua, the leadership of Israel. He drove out the Canaanites and he divided the land into the 12 tribes. Now we know that the tribe of Levi did not have an area because they were the priests. And so it wasn't easy for Joshua to have such success. It wasn't easy for him. We think that, oh, Joshua was so successful, and so it must have been because he was always right with God, or that he just always did everything perfect. No, he didn't have some success sometimes. He went through mountain valleys, mountaintop experiences too. And so, but in all of it, this is what I want us to get through our study. In all that Joshua went through in his life, what was it about him that made him successful? He believed God, and he believed his word. You want to be successful? Some of you, you are in corporate America. Maybe some of you work with people who are in corporate America. They have an idea of what success is. But according to Joshua and in his leadership, and what we will study in the book of Joshua, if you truly want to be successful in this life, you need to believe God and his word. And it's not just enough to believe it, but then you need to proceed in it. You need to do it. Isn't that what James says? Don't be a hearer only. Be a doer of the word. All of us sit here in church this morning, and we could say all kinds of things about the Bible, but are you doing them? Do you believe them? Well, and that's where our success kind of splits. If you want to be successful, if you want God's blessing on your life, as I do, I need to believe God and I need to believe his word. And I need to do it by faith. And so for people, the continue in morality, the morale decline as it was back then. In order for that decline that's taking place all around Joshua,
as they were worshiping many gods. They went from worshipers to wanderers. They turned an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land into a 40-year meander. That was all around Joshua. So for you and I to say that my surrounding circumstances, those things around me, dictate my success, we are wrong. Joshua was successful amid all of that stuff around him because he trusted God. And he knew God's word and trusted it. That's how we can make it through this life with all of this around us. And we say, what in the world is going on? But we say what? God is on the throne. We have his word. Let's trust him. That's how Joshua was able to lead. That's how Joshua was able to do what he needed to do for the Lord. You see, Jesus Christ, our Joshua, wants to lead us and bless us. Ephesians 1:3 says what? With all spiritual blessings. God wants to bless us. But many times we live like defeated paupers. We live like we are just defeated, that we're kicking the can down the road and just, man, is this all that there is in life? And we act like we're defeated. But in reality, we are not defeated. So why do we act like that? Well, this morning, church, we do not live for Christ to work up to victory. We work down from it. And that's the perspective that we need to get. I want to repeat that again this morning, that we do not live for Christ to work up to victory. I'm doing all of these things so I can get the victory from the Lord. Hold on, time out. We are already victorious. So we should work down from victory, not up to it. And so some of us, we have it backwards, that I need to do all of these things so I can be victorious in Jesus Christ. Hold on a minute. You already are. So that when the things that come into your life, that you're like, I just don't even know how I'm going to make it through this. Hold on a minute. You're not living up to victory. You already victorious. So see the Lord Jesus Christ through it. And that's the perspective we need to have this year. That's the perspective that Joshua had. I'm already victorious, so no matter what happens, my victory is in the Lord. And that is so true about all of us as well. We do not struggle towards victory. We stand in victory because of the cross and the empty tomb. We're victorious. So why do we live like we're defeated? A lot of times it's because we're trying to live that victorious life. We're already victorious. And so may we trust God and trust his word. Why Joshua? Why would Joshua be a good candidate to lead the children of Israel? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Look with me, number one, our first point, that Joshua was born into slavery. He was a slave. Joshua was born into slavery, being born in Egypt during the time of the plagues and the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. Think about all the things that Joshua had seen. Joshua was born with the name Hoshea, which is in Numbers 13:8. I am sure I am botching that name, but look at verse number 8, if you will, of the tribe of Ephraim. So he was of the tribe Ephraim. So if you're ever asked in a Bible trivia question, what tribe was Joshua from? Well, there you go. He was from the tribe Ephraim. And notice in verse number 8, Hoshea the son of Nun. And so Hoshea, here is his name. That name means salvation. Boy, what a cool name. Salvation. All of you in here, your name probably means something. And so here his name means salvation. But later in Numbers 13, same chapter, verse number 16, just a few verses down, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And so his name, Moses, changed it to Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. You say, what in the world does any of that mean to me? Because that name which Moses changed his name to Joshua, Joshua is the same name as Jesus. It's the same name as Jesus in the Hebrew. Joshua, Jesus. And so as I read through this, Joshua belonged to the tribe of Ephraim and was the firstborn son of Nun. See, didn't you know nuns could have children? I didn't know that, but here you go. This nun had the child. And so that was his dad. And so his father being Nun, and stop and consider this morning. Joshua was born during the Passover, and his dad, Nun, showed faith in God. How do we know that? First of all, he named his son Salvation. He knew salvation was of the Lord. He believed God and his word. And guess who besides Moses was kept from being killed? Joshua. This was during that time. And so this morning, his dad showing faith in the Lord and the blood of the Lamb, putting it on the doorpost, putting it above, putting it on the sides so that the death angel passed over. His father believed God. And as a result, Joshua was saved. Joshua, Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. What faith there was in his family in believing God. And while Joshua was in Egypt, he saw all the amazing things that God had done, and he knew that Jehovah was powerful and would protect them. That helped him to be the leader that he was. Seeing all that God had done before the Exodus and after the Red Sea, it stands to reason why he believed God would take care of all of it. I'm going to trust God in all of it. So what makes Joshua a good candidate to lead the children of Israel into the promised land? He experienced the slavery. He saw the faithfulness and the amazing, miraculous things that God had done to lead them to where they were. Where Moses was leading them, he was second in command, which we'll see in a minute. He saw all of that. He saw the bad, he saw the good. And in all of it, what did he claim? God is good through all of it. How do I know that? Because here in a minute, when he goes out to spy, he comes back and says, listen, we can do this. We can take that land. And so he believed God. He trusted God. He trusted God's word. Well, what else made him a good fit to lead the children of Israel, to take over when Moses died up there on Mount Nebo? Number two this morning, he was a soldier. Way different than Moses. Moses was not a soldier. Farthest thing from it. But Joshua was a warrior. Joshua was a warrior. 2 months after the Exodus, General Joshua had his first military victory against the Amalekites. If you'll look with me in Exodus chapter number 17, and as I said, we'll be in Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy a little bit before we get to the book of Joshua. But in Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 16, the Bible says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with a rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up into the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand was heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up their hands, the one on one side, one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So as Moses' hand was up, they were in victory. When Moses' hand and arm would come down, there was not victory. And so through all of that, this was a great, amazing victory for Joshua. Write it in a book. Write it down as a memorial. Write it down so that way you can rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. So Joshua will always know that me, God, I'm in control of all of it. Do what I'm saying. Trust it. I am God. I am Jehovah. And so a very stark contrast again from Moses, who was a prophet, a legislator. Much like Joshua this morning, we, as God's people, should not be afraid to confront the enemy and trust the Lord for victory. That's why we have the book of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we are to stand. Stand in that victory. Not I'm fighting this battle so I can gain it. I already have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm supposed to stand with my armor on. So that when things in this life get tough, when things in this life get really, really hard and difficult, I already know that I can claim the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word. That's exactly what Joshua needed to hear and knew about him. Write it in a book. I want Joshua to hear this. I want him to know this. That I am faithful. I am going to confront the enemy. Trust the Lord for the victory. And so that's what we need to do as Christians. Trust the Lord to stand in His Word. For what is the only way that I can defeat Satan? Submit yourselves, James says, therefore to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. That's exactly what we are being taught here and what Joshua is being taught. And that is our lesson here this morning from this passage. And so here, how did Joshua learn to be such a fierce soldier and one who was great using the sword? Maybe he was like Moses. Moses had all the best schools. Moses learned an awful lot. But one thing he didn't learn was to wield a sword. That's not something that he was good at. That was not something he was taught. He was taught to be the one to lead, a leader that was not a warrior, but one who was to basically be the legislator, if you will, the prophet that God had called to be his spokesman. He was not the one carrying the sword around. Perhaps he had learned that, like Moses learned by education, Joshua must have learned how to be a great warrior from the Egyptians. That's the conclusion that I come down to. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how he got to that point, but if he lived in Egypt during that time, as well as Moses, it stands to reason that he learned his fierceness, his battles. He learned it from the Egyptians. And so he was the sword bearer. He was the one that was the great warrior. Moses was the prophet. But see, unknown to Joshua, the battle against the Amalekites was a testing time when God was examining his faith, was examining his courage. Again, we go back to the book of James, that the things that we go through, we're supposed to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What? When I go through all of these temptations, when I go through all these struggles, I'm supposed to count it all joy? Well, it's for this reason that the things that we go through, we don't understand right now why we're going through them. But we're going through them because it's strengthening us, because God sees what's coming ahead and He knows that I can make it through it because of what I've gone through previously. We would all love to sit here in church this morning and say, listen, we've never had any problems in life and we're always so healthy and we have all kinds of money. And we would like to sit here and think that there's never any problems in our life. And if that would be the case, then there would be no growth in our life. But because our lives, we have to go through the struggles, the trials, as we said earlier, the valleys and then those mountaintop experiences. But the valley is where the soil is tender, it's dark, it's very moist. That's where things grow. Up on the mountaintop experience, there's a lot of rock up there. There's less that's going to be growing up there. And so in all of that, that's exactly what we learn here from Joshua and his life. Joshua didn't know in that moment as he was fighting the Amalekites that God was somehow testing him to be this amazing warrior to lead his people into the promised land. Who would you rather go into the promised land? Moses the legislator or Joshua the warrior? Both feared God, both loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But who do you need going in and clearing out the land, if you will, by battle? We need Joshua to do that. That wasn't Moses' thing. And so you can even see how God was using his victory, his battle against the Amalekites continually, of that being a testing of his faith and his courage. When you go through battles in life, it's a test of your faith and courage. Stay strong in the Lord. It is always important that we do our best work and be faithful, for you never know who is watching. Oh, I'm just doing this job. I'm just kind of pushing through. Hey, listen, you never know what you're learning in your job right now that's going to set you up for something later on. In your Christian life, the things that you're going through right now, you don't know what it is that's setting you up to be successful later on. That's the way it was with Joshua. He was being set up for success. The battle with Amalek was just a preparation for the promised land battles. Did Joshua know that? Nope. He thought he was just going to walk in there with Moses second in command. Now we know because of the sin of the people, Moses was allowed to see but not allowed to enter. And so here we have Joshua the slave, Joshua the soldier, and thirdly this morning, we have Joshua the servant. Joshua the servant. In Exodus chapter 24, verse number 13, the Bible tells us, "And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God." Joshua was Moses' servant, Moses' minister. He accompanied Moses to the mountain, and he was there when he judged the people for making a golden calf. We sometimes miss that point about Joshua. Joshua saw all of that. Joshua was a part of all of that. Joshua saw the stone. Joshua saw the commandments. Joshua saw all of those things happen. And then he saw what happened when Moses came back down. He saw all of that. And you know what? We don't pay attention to the one in the background who's maybe the assistant, for the one that is leading gets all of the attention. But stop and consider what Joshua has been a part of, what Joshua has seen, not only as a slave, as a soldier, but now as a servant, being the assistant to Moses. You know, Joshua had to learn from God, from the God that called Moses. God had called Moses, but I can't talk well. Moses was said to stutter. Moses says, "I can't lead. I can't talk like everybody. No, no, no. I have chosen you. I will work through you. You just do what I'm telling you to do." And that is who God called to lead, to be the spokesman. Well, God also called Joshua to be the one underneath him, to learn from him, to learn from the one who God had called. And so here he is learning, learning from God called Moses. So for Joshua, it wasn't about just being a warrior. He also had to know the laws of God for God's people to obey. It wasn't enough for him to go into battle and just do all of these things. He also needed to know God's word. He needed to know God's law. And that helped him in order to lead God's people. You see, Joshua's secret to his victories wasn't just because he could wield the sword. That was not why he was successful. "I'm really good with a sword. Check me out. I can do all these things." Maybe he threw the sword up in the air and caught it. "Whoa, isn't this awesome?" Maybe he was great with a sword, but that's not what made him great. That was not the secret to his victories. His secret was, again, his submission to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. That was the secret. That was the secret sauce, if you will. This morning, church, that is why we are studying the book of Joshua over this next year. For each of us to be successful, guess what? We must be faithfully obedient to God and His Word. You said, "Pastor Troy, you've said this 3, 4, 5 times this morning." Because we need to grasp that. As simplistic as it is, it's so hard to do. I know God's word, but how much do we read God's word and obey it? Well, maybe like 80% of the time. Well, we're still trying to get to 100. We need to obey. How many times do we trust God during a trial? Well, I try to do it on my own and then I go to God. This is why we need to hear that we're supposed to be faithful to God. We're supposed to be faithful to his word and be obedient to it and to do it. Moses never claimed any special privileges for himself. If you'll read throughout scripture, you'll find that Moses never claimed anything for himself. He didn't want the accolades. He didn't want the notoriety. He never claimed any of that. You say, why are you telling us this? Because who was his understudy? Joshua. When it came to the conquering of the promised land, it is noteworthy that Joshua took his share last. What does that teach you? What does that teach me? That Joshua learned humility from Moses. Even though he was an amazing warrior, even though he could wield that sword, being second in command, he learned from Moses to have some humility. And boy, that all of us would learn that as well, because we can be very guilty of being about self, but we need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves before an almighty God. Trust him, trust his word. So guess what? When difficulties come in my life, maybe you had some this week. Maybe you had some a couple weeks ago. Maybe you had some last month. Maybe you had some last year. Those are all in your life and are designed for you by God, whether you created them or God brought them or Satan brought them along. That you are to be connected to God and his word for you to be victorious through it, because you already have the victory. We're not working up to it. Well, fourthly, this morning as we keep on, what else would make Joshua a good leader? Not only was he a slave in Egypt, he was a soldier as a general there leading the Israelites in battle. He was a servant to Moses, but he was also, later on we will learn, number four, he was a spy. He was a spy. When the Israelites arrived at the border, they're almost to the promised land. They're getting close. They're at Kadesh Barnea. And as they are there, God commanded Moses to choose 12 men to go into the promised land and to spy it out. So he picks 12. Who are one of those 12? Joshua is one of those 12, the second in command. And so for 40 days, these men went into the land. And as they were there 40 days, they come back. And did all 12 of them give the same report back to Moses? No, they did not. Some of you who grew up in Christian school or Christian home or at church probably sang that song, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. If you didn't, well, you can learn that one, I guess. And you can have motions with it. I remember when I was a teacher and I would lead chapel at Franklin Road, we would have 10 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And you do all of these different motions. What's the point and the purpose? Is it just, oh, this is a fun song? No, we were trying to sing a song to show that we are already victorious. That's what Joshua and Caleb, the two of the 12 who came back, said, hey, I think we can take this. I think we can do it. And then you had the other 10 that came back and says what? We are but grasshoppers and they're giants. And they came back with all the excuses. Let me ask you a question. Who did all the people believe, the 10 or the 2? All the people believed the 10. Like, yeah, well, I don't think we can go in there. I mean, they're huge. But Caleb and Joshua said what? I believe God and I believe his word. We can do it. And who fitly better to say it than Joshua? Why? I mean, I've seen what God did when I was in Egypt. And I saw what God did coming out of Egypt. And I've seen what God has done in these 40 years in the wilderness. How can God not take care of us to go in and do this? You see, two different perspectives, or I should say 10 different perspectives on one side and two different perspectives on the other. Were they looking at different land and different people? Did the 10 just go up and see these giants and then Joshua and Caleb went over and said, no, they're like midgets? Is that what they? No, they saw the same thing. You and I can see the same situation And we can have two different perspectives on the same situation. You can look at it and say, you know what? I don't think that I can make it through this. Or you have the perspective of, I trust God. I trust His Word. I know His Word. I know His promises. And He can make us get through this. And will. You see, the two, they were working from victory. Joshua and Caleb says, we can get the victory. We're already victorious. And then you had the other 10 saying, I don't think we can work ourselves up to get the victory. Two different perspectives. And by the way, your Christian life is the same way. You will always have two different perspectives. Not three, not four. You always have two. I learned it at the Wilds Christian Camp many, many moons ago. There's two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. Those are the only two choices that you will ever have in life. Are you going to please God or are you going to please self? Let me ask you a question this morning. The two that went in and said, we can take it. Who were they trusting? God. Who were the 10 trusting? Self. We can't do it. We can't. And Joshua probably in that moment said, hey guys, you're right. You can't do it. God's going to do it. Right? And that's the way it is in our life. You can't do it. You can only do it through the power of Christ. That's the only way you can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the only way. Well, Joshua and Caleb both knew they could do it. The 10 reported back discouragement to the people, while 2 reported encouragement, and that God would give them the victory over their enemies. And so the people obviously believed the 10. And so it was this act of rebellion and unbelief that caused them to delay entering the promised land. They could have just gone in, but this unbelief. And so Joshua was not blind to the situation, but he didn't allow the problems and the difficulties to rob him of his faith in God. What a lesson we can learn this morning. That no matter the difficulties, right now I'm trying to figure out why in the world my sink will not drain. I've got it taken apart. I bought a camera on a little wire that goes down your drain to figure out. I can't figure out what's going on. I don't see anything. So I don't know what's going on down there. And you know what? That's just a light thing. I get it. It's just a plumber thing. And but you know what? Those things, when they accumulate and other things, I saw this morning that as I was taking the dog outside, I've got one of my, not the downspout, but the, you know, going across, it's come off and I've got like a waterfall because all the snow's melting. So I got to put it back up there. You know, we can look at all these things and just become so discouraged and think to ourselves, man, what in the world is going on? And all of these things that come our way and we think that they are all these difficulties, and I know it's not a health thing, but if we will allow the difficulties and the problems to take us over, it will rob us of our joy in the Lord. Don't let it. Don't let it rob your joy. Don't let it take away from your faith in an almighty God. The 10 spies looked at God through the difficulties. Don't miss this. The 10 spies looked at God through the difficulties. Joshua and Caleb looked at the difficulties through what they knew about God. There's a difference. Their God was big enough. Their God was big enough. Think about the years that could have been had the people had faith in God, but they were delayed. And so here this morning, Joshua patiently stayed with Moses and did his job, knowing that one day he and Caleb would get their inheritance. Patiently waited. No doubt that Caleb and Joshua over the 40 years probably got together and encouraged one another. Man, I know God can do this. I know I'm ready to go in, but God says no. You know, but man, I know. They're encouraging each other. And there's a whole lesson probably in that about encouraging one another and not being around those who are always so negative and dragging you down. And so Caleb and Joshua, no doubt over the 40 years, as they waited patiently, encouraged one another as people died off one by one. by one. And as each died, their inheritance drew closer and closer. So Joshua was a spy. Joshua was a servant. Joshua was a soldier. Joshua was a slave. Finally, this morning, Joshua was a successor. God was, as we've said, preparing Joshua for his ministry as the successor to Moses. So that when Israel defeated Og, O-G, Moses used that victory to encourage Joshua not to be afraid of his enemies. If you want reference here this morning, Deuteronomy chapter number 3. Deuteronomy chapter number 3, and I will read verses 1 through 3. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan came out against us, he and all of his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. Here, even in Deuteronomy 3, another cross-reference, not only Deuteronomy 3, but Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, look at verse number 33. Numbers 21, 33. The Bible says in verse 33, and they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all of his people, to the battle at Edrei. So it's the same statement made in that cross-reference of Deuteronomy 3 and Numbers 21. Don't be afraid. God's going to fight your battles for you. And so when Moses was about to die, he asked God to give the people a leader. And God appointed Joshua. Numbers chapter 27, verses 12 through 23. We won't read those this morning. Deuteronomy 3, 23 to 29 is where God appointed Joshua as Moses is passing. And in his final message to Israel, Moses told the people that God would use Joshua to defeat their enemies and help them to claim the promised land and their inheritance. I'm going to be with the Lord. Joshua's going to stay back. Joshua's going to lead you into the promised land. He's going to lead you into Canaan, and he's going to lead you to your inheritance, which again fulfilled the prophecy of the promise that he had given to Abraham. Moses laid his hands on Joshua, and God imparted to Joshua that special power that he needed for his task. A reference for that for you is Numbers chapter number 34 and verse number 9. Numbers chapter 34 and verse number 9 this morning. And the border shall go on to Ziphron, and goings out it shall be Hazar Enon. This shall be your north border. And so here he's given him this special task to go. Just like Moses, Joshua would make mistakes. I mean, come on, he's human. He was still God's chosen and still God's anointed leader, and the people knew this. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7, the people said that they would follow Moses. They would follow Joshua just as they followed Moses. They said they would. You know, in our New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians, in particular, chapter number 5, I think it's worth mentioning here this morning that in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5, in verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." You see, according to 1 Thessalonians and according to what has just transpired in the transitioning of Moses to Joshua, it is important that God's people learn that we are to respect the leadership that God has put in our life. The leadership is never going to be perfect because that leadership is not the Lord. It's a human leader. But we are to respect the leadership that God has put into our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5, we see here in Joshua as he takes over for Moses. And I would just say this one last comment here this morning as we finish. God's word to Joshua was to be strong. To be strong. Be very courageous. And as we close this morning, that is the message to us today. That no matter what comes into our lives, the problems, the difficulties, the things of this everyday world, be strong. Trust God. Trust His word. For that is what makes you victorious. Why? Because you're already victorious, and that's where we're working from. We're not working up to victory. We are already victorious. That's what allows us to make it through the difficulties and the struggles and the problems. We're already winners. We've already claimed the prize. May we continue to move forward for the Lord. Well, let's pray this morning.